God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to these stations to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. And here now is Jerry to introduce our broadcast.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Again today, Brother Hutchings and I will be talking about his autobiography, As It Is in the Days of Noah, the new updated edition that we've been talking about all week. Brother Hutchings, before we get into a little bit more about your book, would you again tell us about the Identification and Response Month we're having here in the month of October?
Yes, you know, this has been a very difficult summer. I've talked to other Christian program producers, and I get the same story everywhere. Perhaps the price of gasoline and other factors enter into it, but this has been a very difficult summer, I know, for Southwest Radio Church Ministry. And we're having to take a very close look at our radio stations. You know, we've lost quite a few stations due to special interest groups like Mr. Campin or the Catholic Church or other special groups buying up stations or selling stations. And stations are changing their formats, their programming. And that makes it very difficult. And so I would ask everyone who listens to this program, those who are listening to me right now, to please send an offering in October if you want this program to continue over your station, and identify the call letters to the station to which you are listening. Because at the end of October, we're going to have to take a serious look at our radio station budget. So your offering may determine whether we stay on the station to which you listen or not. So it's very, very important.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. And again, we'll remind you of that a little bit later on in the month as well. Brother Hutchings, we were speaking on our last program about some of the tours, but also one of the main things that Southwest Radio Church Ministries has been involved in over the years is missions.
That is certainly true, and I think I mentioned before that the first month I worked for Southwest Radio Church, I wrote a check for $110,000 to Sudan Interior Missions, and that was just one of the missions. Mm-hmm. We have always had an interest in supporting missions, and, you know, we just don't sit here in an air-conditioned office before a microphone 8 hours a day, 365 days a year. Sometimes we go out where the rubber meets the road, and we go on missions. I remember going to Russia after the Iron Curtain broke and the Soviet Union broke up and we were permitted to go to Russia. I went on 5 mission tours to Russia. I remember we'd go into Moscow, charter a ship, and go up and down the Volga River, put Bibles on the ship. I know one mission trip, there were 319 workers, and we disseminated one-on-one over 3 million Bibles. And I remember Gorky, the city of Gorky, where the mayor come out and said, "You're going to have to get out of town because you've tied up the whole town. We can't get the police cars, the fire trucks through." So we put our guides on a vehicle and went through town telling them everyone they had to get up on the curbs or we'd have to leave. And they did that, and the mayor let us stay. We distributed Bibles at Gorky. And not only that, all towns all the way up to St. Petersburg, what a thrill it was to see Russians lined up for miles, getting Bibles, sitting on curbs, leaning up against buildings, reading Bibles. What a thrill that was. And I remember one time in Moscow, we couldn't get all the Bibles to the ship before it had to leave to go up the Moscow Canal over the Volga. And the ship's captain said, "We'll have to leave because we have a schedule to keep. If we don't keep a schedule, we won't get through the canal." Well, it so happened that we prayed, and one of the pumps broke immediately. By the time they got the pump fixed, the Bibles got there, and we got them on the ship. Mm. So, you know, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. I've seen so many times in Russia how God answered prayer. And I could tell you story after story after story. Hmm. What a blessing it was. I remember in China, at Guilin, customs people took my Bibles away. Chang, our national guide, she was secretary of the China Tourist Agency. She was leading our tour because she wanted to find out what Christianity was all about. She tried to help us as best she could, but she couldn't, and I kind of got arrested there. Got out. She interceded for me. And when we got to Beijing, we had to go over to Chongqing. The plane was not did not arrive when we were through our touring at Beijing, and she came to me when we were at the airport and said, the plane is down. A part is broke, and they can't get the plane here. Well, we had to get to Chongqing, or the tour was over. We had no place else to go. And she said, well, if your God answers prayer, why don't you have a prayer meeting here in the airport for God to fix that plane? Well, she had challenged me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the tour group together, and we had prayer. And about 15 minutes later, I saw her running through the crowd, jumping up and down, waving her hand, said, they found a part. The plane will be here. And, you know, Chang accepted the Jesus Christ as a Savior. That was in 1987, and I heard from her until after Tiananmen Square. But after Tiananmen Square, I never heard from her again. I was always concerned that she may have been one of those who were killed on Tiananmen Square.
But if she was, you know where she went.
Yes, I know where she went. I'll see her again.
Amen.
And I was telling that story in Israel. And our guide, Audrey, was kind of aggressive Jewish, and she was trying to convince everybody what a great Jew she was. She said, well, if you have such a pipeline to God, why don't you pray to God to give us cooler weather? And it was very hot. It was in September, but the hot weather had not abated. And I said, well, Audrey, I don't mind praying for cooler weather or better weather. I said, we'll just see what God's will is. And she says, well, I don't want cooler weather tomorrow or next month or next year. I want colder weather today. So I said, what time do you want cooler weather, Audrey? She said, at 12 o'clock today. So we stopped at the Jesus Boat Museum. That was just after they had found the Jesus Boat there at the Sea of Galilee. It was exactly noon, 12 o'clock, when we come out. The wind changed to the north, and the temperature dropped 20 degrees. And I had challenged Audrey. I said, well, if you get cooler weather at 12 o'clock today, then you'll agree that I'm to baptize you this afternoon when we have baptismal service. So I said, Audrey, be sure and get your baptismal clothes. She said, hum. You read the weather report.
Oh, so, she didn't believe it.
But anyway, that was a testimony to her.
Absolutely.
And I was telling on a later tour what happened to Audrey when I went to Israel. I think it was a couple of years ago. And everyone on tour looked at each other and kind of grinned. And they said, boy, what a whopper that is. Mm. But Reuben Houston was who had been on that tour when that happened, he spoke up and said, Brother Hutchins is telling you the truth. It happened exactly like he said. Sometimes when you're out on mission trips, you ask for prayer, you have to have prayer then.
Yes, and God is still in the miracle business.
He certainly is. I remember another time in China. I think it was in 97 or 98, we had collected funds for a large contingent of Bibles. A computer service in Japan was going to take them in for us and have them there in Beijing and Shanghai for us when we got there, and then we wouldn't have to worry about getting them into the country. And as far as we knew, that was the only way to get them in. It was for the Bibles and teaching materials for the underground church in China. On January, I think it was the 14th of that year, the Central Committee criminalized the activity of anyone outside the Three Theft Church, that's the government-approved church, who was doing any kind of Christian work or missionary work or Bible distribution work or witnessing in China. So the computer company called us and told us that some of their people had trouble with the law and been arrested in China, so they couldn't take the Bibles in. So here we had all these Bibles and teaching materials. The underground church was waiting for them. So we just took them in ourselves, shipped them in by air. We were really expecting to be arrested when we went through customs at Beijing, immigration. But when we got to customs or immigration, our agent had forgot, maybe on purpose, and didn't put our exit visas in. And here I had this large tour group, and we couldn't get in because we didn't have an exit visa, because they wanted everyone going in to be sure that they got out, went out. We had to negotiate and waited there in the airport and had to contact the immigration people at the national office. And, you know, they finally come back and said, well, if you'll pay for another exit visa and give us your passport, we'll get you another exit visa, which we did. I paid them for another exit visa. But by that time, it was between 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And all the immigration people and customs people had left. The only thing left was this huge truck outside and a bus. The truck was to take our luggage. So we just filled that truck up with all those Bibles and teaching material. And the driver didn't know the difference. So there's nobody there. And we took them right to the hotel. We couldn't make contact with Yuan, who was our agent or contact person with the underground church. And we were to go to Nanking, and we couldn't make contact. We couldn't get rid of the Bibles. And I even caught a taxi over to the Christian Men's Church there in Beijing because I had known him. And I was going to see if he couldn't take at least take them off our hands, because we couldn't get them on a commercial airliner to go to Nanking, and we couldn't leave them there because they would be traced to us, and then we would be arrested and all put in jail. What to do? What to do? At 12 o'clock at night, before we were to leave next morning at 7 to catch a plane to Nanking, Yuan called. At 12 o'clock at night, he'd call one of the tour members. And this tour member said, there's somebody down there wanting to know if we have anything for them. And so I knew who it was. So we went down, and we got rid of the Bibles. You know, they had a vehicle out in back of the hotel. And we got them on, and they went where God intended them. Yuan, he died a few days ago.
Really?
He was 90 years old. And that was in 1997 or 98 that he met us there, still working. You know, sometimes you just have to pray and expect God to answer prayer.
You know, a lot of people, Brother Hutchings, would hear that story and they say, oh, that was just all a coincidence. Things just happened that way. But I believe, and you believe, that God had his hand in it. He engineers the circumstances of our lives in a way to get done what he wants done.
Certainly, when we were going with all those Bibles into China that time, we just said, we'll be arrested when we get to Beijing, get to Shanghai. We had divided the groups up. One went to Beijing, one went to Shanghai. It's God's business, and if he wants these Bibles to get where they're supposed to go, he will make a way. If the agent had put our exit visas in with our other papers where they were supposed to have been, we'd have never got those Bibles out of the airport.
Right, but that was not an accident.
It wasn't an accident. To wait till 6 hours before we had to get up and depart from Beijing for the representative from the underground church to contact us, that was no accident.
Right.
There is no way that we could have ever got those Bibles and teaching material to where they were supposed to go if God had not intervened to do it. There was no way. I know that God did it. Of course, in any event, I did get arrested, though, and got put in jail for another reason, to witnessing out on Tiananmen Square and in Forbidden City, and was put in jail. They took my Bibles and material away from me. Of course, that was my fault. It wasn't God's fault. The tour group prayed for me, and I got out of jail and was able to go on with the tour group and complete the tour. So God is so marvelous, so wonderful.
He really is. And all of those stories that Brother Hutchings has just shared, and others, as a matter of fact, are in his book, As It Is in the Days of Noah, the new updated edition. And you'll certainly want to get a copy of that book, even if you have the original, which was written back in 1998, you'll want to get this new one because there is some new information, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But this 360-page book is available for a gift of $18 for one copy. If you'd like a couple of copies, you can get two for a gift of $30. And the way you do that is to call 1-800-652-1144. Now, if you want to write for the book, the mailing address is Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or you can go to our website, which is www.swrc.com. Brother Hutchings, I believe we have just about enough time for you to tell us a little bit about some of the new things that are in the book.
Yeah, you know, the previous editions of the book, I think there have been four editions before this one, stopped in 1998. The last chapter was, It Ain't Over Till It's Over. And I had to write another chapter to bring the reader up to date what happened between 1998 and 2005. And the new chapter is It Still Ain't Over Till It's Over.
Okay.
In December of 99, my good friend, Brother Dave Benoit from over Lynchburg way, he and I was in Oklahoma City and we were doing some programs for the ministry, and we went to Eufaula, Lake Eufaula, for a little fishing trip for a couple of days, and it turned cold, and we sat out there in the cold and fished. I don't think we caught much, but at least we went through the motions. I drove home, had lunch about the second day, and sat down to watch the news and had a heart attack. That was about my third or fourth heart attack, I don't remember. And so I was taken to St. Anthony Hospital here in Oklahoma City. The attendants there got me easy, and after a few hours, began to perform tests and, you know, and you go through all these procedures. About, I asked for the cardiologist who was on the team to do my bypass 1988 to come and see me from Baptist Hospital. Well, after a day or two, he came over and he came in the room, and Brother Dave was with me and my wife, Kim. And he came in and looked at me and he said, there is absolutely nothing anyone can do for you. I've seen all your charts, tests, and there's nothing anyone can do for you. You've lived a long life. Go home. And he was in my room about 15 seconds. He turned around and left. Brother Dave came over and said, why don't we have a word of prayer? And we had a word of prayer and committed the future to the Lord. I thought, well, maybe my course has been run. Maybe it's time for the Lord to take me home. So I was not concerned because whatever the Lord's will. But about 10 minutes later, a young doctor come in, Dr. Ron Suter, and he looked at me and said, going home is not an option for you. Said, God has given me the ability to do high risk. Said, if you have the faith, I'll work on you. Of course, here it is. What, 5 years later, over 5.5 years later, I'm still going. Think of all the hundreds of programs I've done, all the mission work we've done, the books we've written since that time. So we're still here, still serving the Lord. I continue to have some angina pains. He said the only way to get rid of all that is to open up the one artery they didn't work on in 1988. And so I think it was about 18 months ago I went in the hospital and he opened up that artery, and I've had no pain or nothing since. But while I was on the operating table, the pain got rather severe, and I told him, I said, Ron, you're going to have to hurry up. The pressure is increasing, and the pain is also becoming a little unbearable, so you're going to have to hurry up. He said, give me 5 more minutes. I said, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. But that was the last I remember. And I woke up an hour later. I was in this long tube. I had a collar around my neck, plastic collar, and a helmet on my head. I couldn't figure out where I was. I thought, maybe this is it. Maybe I'm on my way. But I kind of got awake, and I hollered. I said, anybody out there? And Dr. Suter put his head in the tube and said, this is Dr. Suter. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, you're in an MRI unit. I'm checking you for broken bones. I said, why would you be checking me for broken bones? He said, you fell off the operating table. So I asked him, I said, was that instrument in my right coronary up near my heart when I fell off the table? He said, yes, but fortunate for us, it was in a retracted position at the time. Ooh. So I always say that God looks after fools and preachers. But, you know, Dr. Suter, he comes to my class on Daniel this last summer, and he and his family, he has gone to Israel with me. He went to Mongolia with me. I lived with Dr. Suter out on the Gobi Desert in a Gur tent, you know, taking the word of God to Mongolia. Mm-hmm. It's been a great life. You know, and I look back over it, and I think, well, I couldn't have done better if I'd written the script myself.
Right.
It's been a great life.
It really has. And that whole story, the entire thing, is actually there's more in the new chapter than Brother Hutchings was able to share with you. So be sure and call or write or go to our website to get a copy of As It Is in the Days of Noah. It's available for a gift of $18, 2 copies for a gift of $30. The phone number to call is 800-652-1144. You can write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or go to the website, swrc.com. And by the way, the programs that we've done this week are also available on CD, and you can get those for a gift of $18. Brother Hutchings, we don't want to forget the Heartland Bible and Prophecy Conference this month. It comes up at the end of the month, as a matter of fact, October 27th through the 29th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It'll be held at the Clarion Hotel and Convention Center, located at 737 South Meridian here in Oklahoma City. That's actually at Interstate 40 and Meridian Avenue. We do have special rates for those who will be staying at the Clarion, $62 per night for conference registrants. To make your reservations, you need to call this number, 405-942-8511. Let me repeat that again. 405-942-8511. That's to make your reservation at the Clarion Hotel and Convention Center here in Oklahoma City for the Heartland Bible and Prophecy Conference. And don't forget, that is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There's a registration fee if you wait and pay at the door, but you can avoid that registration fee by simply calling to pre-register. The number to call to do that, 1-800-652-1144. That's our regular number. But I guess that's about it, Brother Hutchings. So you folks stay tuned for a Bible in the News report on most of these stations, and join us Monday for the next Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. This is Jerry Giltner, announcer for the Watchman on the Wall program. I'll be bringing you today's Bible in the News report. Evolutionists are not the only people who have a strange theory about how life came to be on planet Earth. They adhere to the idea of the Big Bang or some other strange sequence of events that finally developed into what we see as living organisms. Now there are scientists who believe that comets may have seeded life on Earth. We're quoting now from csmonitor.com, a story posted on the Internet September 8, 2005. Quote, Some scientists have long held the notion that comets delivered many of the chemical building blocks of organic life. NASA's Deep Impact mission to Comet Tempel 1 has substantially strengthened their case. This week, at a meeting in London and in results published in Thursday's edition of Science Express, Deep Impact scientists say they have found high levels of organic chemicals beneath the surface of Tempel 1's core. They have yet to identify all of the chemicals present in the material, which was ejected on July 4th when the comet collided with a projectile the Deep Impact spacecraft released. But what they've seen so far makes it more likely that comets seeded Earth with the chemical precursors for organic life, says Michael Ahim, a University of Maryland planetary scientist and the mission's lead researcher. Past studies from ground-based observatories and comet flybys have identified many of the chemicals in the halo of dust and gas that surrounds the core, as well as in the bright tails of comets. But these sightings have had little to say directly about the amounts and relative abundance of the compounds comets contain in their cores. As the team continues to pore through its data, researchers expect to identify all of the chemicals that comets brought in abundance to the Earth, Dr. Ahim says. That will be our biggest contribution to understanding comets' roles in the story of life on Earth. One surprise, the team has detected an unexpectedly high concentration of methyl cyanide. Biologists say methyl cyanide is a key player in reactions that form DNA. Close quotes. These scientists are, of course, evolutionists. The story later says that the, and this is a quote, solar system formed some 4.6 billion years ago. Close quotes. Those who believe the Bible know better. Dr. John Morris, for example, says in his book, The Young Earth, the Earth is only thousands of years old, not billions, just as a straightforward reading of the Bible indicates, and that the rocks and fossils are fully compatible with the biblical evidence. Close quotes. As for Scripture, we read, And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. That's six literal days. Defining the Hebrew word yom, Dr. Morris says, quote, when modified by numeral or ordinal in historical narrative, it always means a literal day, close quotes. That's today's Bible in the News report. To get a sample copy of the Bible in the News magazine, call 1-800-652-1144 or write to Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. If you'd like a sample copy of the magazine, call for it. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and another Bible in the News report on this station.